Thank you. Thank you for asking us to come. We're from not a place called Durham. It's not that far away, is it, from you? We put the sat nav on to find the church. I have been here before, but my husband's always driven. So we put the sat nav on, and I don't know where it was going to take us, but it was directing us right past here, round the corner, and I'm going, no, that's it, that's the building, stop. So I don't know where we would have ended up if we trusted the sat-nav, but there you go. So I'm Sue Golding, and as I say, I'm from Durham Community Church, which is part of the Salt and Light Ministries Network, and I help to lead the church there with my husband called Jeremy. I have two grown-up children, Esther and Nahum. Some of you do know them from the past. They're a lot bigger now. They're both taller than me. And I've brought some of my very special ladies from Durham to share with you as well, so that you don't have to just listen to my voice all the time. Michelle, who is married to Hilton and has two grown-up girls and has just recently become a grandma. And doesn't she look too young to be a grandma? Sophia. And Sophia is an absolute delight. She's 12 weeks, is she? Yeah, 12 weeks old. Yeah. And next to Michelle, we have Hannah. And Hannah is married to Adrian. And she also has two very, very, very young children. Solomon, who's 2.5. And Eli, or do you call him Lila? Yeah, Elijah, and he's eight months old, and they're an absolute delight, and we love them being part of our church family in Durham. You'll hear more from Hannah in just 1 minute after I've just finished introducing. So what we're going to do is, Hannah's going to come and just share a little bit of her journey in God, and how she met God, and how she sort of made a choice to follow after the Lord Jesus. And then Michelle, who's amazingly gifted in many, many ways, not just worship and music, also in teaching. Michelle's got a song on her heart that she wants to sing to you. Okay? And then I'm just going to come and just bring a couple of thoughts for us to think about before we go. All right. Okay. So, Hannah, be kind, because she hasn't done this very much. So.
Hello, everyone. You have to excuse me because I'm a little tiny bit shy and, yeah, not spoken very much before. But I just want to give you my testimony and just tell you how God's, my journey with God and how my life's been transformed by becoming a Christian. So growing up for me is quite difficult. My mum was a single mum and she had 4 children. And we always really struggled with like money and stuff like that. And she had severe depression, so it was really difficult growing up in that environment. And even though I grew up like not knowing my father, I always had this sense that God was there and he was my father. We never went to church or anything, but it was just like an instinctive thing. So by the time I reached my teens, my mum's depression had got even more severe, and she was like totally detached from us. So I felt like a massive sense of abandonment and like loads of insecurity and stuff. So I really retreated into myself, and I just totally shut God out of my life, everyone out basically. And then I just, I tried to find coping mechanisms, so I turned to drink and drugs and inappropriate relationships and things like that, and it was basically just like numb all this sadness and hurt everything that I had inside. But inevitably, going down that road, it just turned like what was a bad situation even worse, and it just got really, really dark, and I just spiraled myself into depression and like self-destruction and stuff. I was like hopping from job to job, I couldn't keep a job longer than a few weeks because, you know, I'd go out, get totally drunk and wrecked and stuff, and I just wouldn't turn up for work the next day. And I began to get a reputation as being a bit of a drunkard, a waster, like unredeemable. And people would like refer to me as like a lost cause and stuff, which was like really hurtful. But it was like I was trapped in this cycle, and I just didn't know how to get out of it. My family disowned me. I had nowhere to live. So I was basically homeless, just like sofa surfing, and I was destitute. So I just felt like utterly hopeless, really trapped, alone. Like I just felt finished and wretched and stuff. And I was only like 21, and I just felt like my life was over. You know, I just didn't have any hope at all. Things got really dark. Just felt like I was constantly like in a black hole, just trying to get out of it. So then one day, everything got too much. So I attempted to take my life, attempted to commit suicide. So I took loads of medication. And then a few days later, woke up in hospital. And there was all these like really ill patients and stuff around me. They were like on their deathbed, so I was like in quite a bad place. But I was still alive, you know, and I just started thinking, well, I must be alive for a reason, you know. Maybe my life is worth something. So I spent a lot of time when I was recovering sort of pondering why I was still alive. And I thought, obviously, God wasn't ready to let me die yet. So that sort of rekindled my faith, but still I was really unsure of like how to reach out to God. I knew he was there, but I just felt like I wasn't worthy, you know, he wouldn't want me kind of thing. And then one day a close friend came to me and told me that he was on a journey. So I was like, well, what are you on about? You're on a journey? You're in the room with me? You know, you're on a journey. But he was actually talking about a journey with Christ, like a Christian journey. So he gave me this Bible verse and he was like, look, just read it. And I was like, no, not interested, a bit scared. Like, and he's like, right, just sit down with me and read it. So he read this verse and then he said, can I pray for you? I said, well, all right then. And then I started reading a bit more. And it was, honestly, all I can describe it as is like a light went on. It's like going from darkness into light. It was just, I know it might sound cheesy or whatever, but that is honestly what it felt like. It was just amazing. Suddenly I had like hope and perspective. It felt like I was here for a reason, you know, and my life actually mattered kind of thing. So I was suddenly filled with like a hope and a peace and joy just to be alive, you know. So I began reading the Bible, and then it's just been like a constant journey, really, sort of growing in my faith. And it's not all been plain sailing, because when I told my family that I'd become a Christian again, they disowned me. it was awful, like telling my dad, who I'd just recently found, that I'd become a Christian, and he said, oh, I wish you'd never come to find me and stuff like this. But then there's a verse in Matthew 16 to 24 to 26, and have you got that? Sorry, putting you on the spot. Sorry about this, but yeah, 24 to 26. So then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? So basically that just meant to me, even though all these bad things were happening or whatever, I'd taken up the cross, I was going to follow Christ and he was going to look after me, basically. So didn't have to worry, you know. So now I'm actually married to the person who shared his journey with me. Got two little boys. It's quite a big thing for me, but I did an access course because I left school when I was quite young. You know, everything went whatever. So I went back and did an access course, and I've just been accepted to uni to do nursing. I've got my two little boys and I've got my church. So, you know, it's amazing. So praise God, you know, what is done in my life, that sense of security and just knowing that he loves me and is there every day no matter what. You know, it really is amazing. So really thankful. So thanks for listening.
Okay, so I hope you're going to... Can you hear me all right? Yeah. Just following on from what Hannah was saying, which I didn't really know what Hannah was going to say today, this song, heard it on a CD about 3 months ago, and it's become a bit of an anthem for my life of late. It's called It Is Well, and it's a part of it is based on a very old hymn, and I grew up in church, so I know a lot of hymns. And this is kind of, people have changed it and added bits to it. But it's all about how whatever we go through in life, Jesus is with us. And some of it is based on, there's a story in the Bible that talks about when Jesus was in a boat with his disciples and they were in the middle of a storm. And he was fast asleep because the storm didn't bother him. He was quite at peace, but they were all anxious and agitated and woke him up and everything. And Jesus just said to the storm, "Be still. Just settle down, calm down, I'm in control." And that's the experience of my life, really. This song, that's why it's become a bit of an anthem for me, I think, of recently, again, is that, you know, none of us are immune to the difficulties and the challenges of life. And often that comes through your family. And we've had our fair share of difficulties in the last few months and the last couple of years. You know, we've had bereavement, we've had parents who are poorly, we've had concerns with our kids, you know, just the normal stuff of life that goes on. And yet, like the chorus says, through it all, when I look to God, I can be at peace still. I can still have like that peace of God inside of me, even though the storm, it feels like there's a storm raging around my life. So this was very much in my thinking weeks and weeks ago, and it just has not gone out of my head, so I'm going to sing it today, so I hope it blesses you as much as it has blessed me. And I'm very nervous because I'm not really used to playing the keyboard. I can sing. I always say to people, I'll sing anywhere. Don't make me say anything. And I've only recently begun to play, so please excuse the mistakes. I'm not very confident.
Thank you.
That was beautiful. Wow, isn't God good? Hey. Okay, I just want to talk to you just a few moments, really, about hearts. And I felt like God's just been encouraging me to think about my heart. And I've called this little talk Heartbeat. It's nothing to do with the program that used to be on the night. Heartbeat, do. No, no, okay. Might help you to remember those, some of the points. So I've called it Heartbeat. And I was out shopping yesterday with my cousin. And I don't know if any of you like going around charity shops, but I love charity shops, absolutely love them. And so we were just diving in and out of the charity shops at the north end of Durham. Recommend them, ladies. And we went into the British Heart Foundation charity shop, yeah. And of course, I did have on my mind my word for you ladies today. But everywhere I looked in this shop, they had lots of things with hearts on because they were raising money for their charity. And I ended up buying one of them. But I just thought, okay, Lord, you're just telling me, yes, it's okay. Go and tell the ladies what you were going to tell them about hearts. And I like my visual aids, you know. It's just an excuse to go and buy a necklace, really, isn't it? But no, I've had that one for quite a while. So I want us to think about the state of our heart. And if you look around, we do see this symbol, don't we? Lots of places. It's even on my notebook, which I didn't plan. Just happened to like that notebook ages ago and bought it. You may even be wearing hearts today. You might have heart earrings, heart necklaces. So it's an image that we're very, very familiar with. It's a symbol. And hearts, I mean, our actual physical heart is very, very important, isn't it? If anything goes wrong with our heart, it affects your health big time. And Michelle's, your dad's been poorly recently and he had 2 stents, wasn't it, put in his heart to help him to get better. And hearts, physically, they're at the centre of our physical body. They make everything work. I'm not a nurse. Unlike Hannah, I'm not that way inclined. But I do know that it makes everything work somehow. And do you know the Bible talks about hearts? It talks about a spiritual heart. And the actual word hearts are mentioned in the Bible 1,000 times. That's a lot. So it must be important, I think, if it's in there that many times. And of course, when the Bible's talking about your spiritual heart, it's not talking about this physical heart here. It's talking about the centre of who we are as people. It's spiritual heart is the absolute centre of who you are. Okay, it's to do with where your emotions are, your intellect, your moral choices that you make, your desires. Oops, somebody's phone. Your motives, your passions. Now, I don't know if anybody here watches Location, Location. Does anybody watch it with Phil and Kirsty? Yeah. Well, often when people are looking at houses and trying, oh, do we like this one? Don't we like this one? Often Kirsty will say, what's your heart saying? Or what's your head saying? Because you know you can go in and look at a house and think, well, actually, you can't afford it. Or you can go into a house and think, oh, I just want this house. I love it. You know, so she distinguishes between what you're thinking in your head and what you're really feeling in your heart, because that's at the centre of who you are. And as I say, there's hundreds of verses in the Bible. If you go down, if you've got a Bible with a theme list and you look up heart, there's pages and pages of verses. But one verse that's really been life to me is from Proverbs 4:23, and it says there, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Okay? Above all else, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. And that verse has been really important to me, because there have been times in my life, and when I first became a Christian, God needed to come and do some heart surgery on me. And he needed to repair my heart. He needed to heal my heart. Because I was poorly, because of things that had happened to me, experiences that I'd had. A bit like Hannah was talking about. You know, she was pretty crushed, wasn't she, when she was younger, because of the circumstances and her family situation. But God made her a new creation in Christ Jesus. It also says in Proverbs 15:13, a happy heart makes the face cheerful, but heartache crushes the spirit. And again, it's to do with the health of our inner being. And as I say, Hannah was made a new creation in Christ Jesus. And God's amazing at healing people's hearts. And I haven't got time to go into all the ways that God's healed my heart, but you can come and chat to me afterwards if you want to. But God, and do you know what? He keeps on healing my heart as well when things happen and I get hurt. And he is just amazing at that. And it's because he loves us, he designed us, and he made us. And he knows he's the best person ever to come and live in our hearts and heal our hearts as we start this journey with him. It's an ongoing thing, just as it is with your own physical heart. You don't just decide to look after your heart one day and then forget about it, do you? It's an ongoing thing. That's why we all rushing off to the gym, aren't we, and swimming and doing all this exercise, or not. So we need to look after our hearts, and lifestyle does matter, and that spiritually as well as our physical lifestyle. That's to do with what we look at, who we spend our time with, the choices that we're making in our life, what we're allowing us to watch, look at, and listen to. We need to guard our heart. And in Matthew 22, verse 37, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. That's the whole of you, isn't it? God's calling us to love him with all of our heart, soul, and mind. And that's because God is completely passionate about each one of you in here. Now, I don't know all of you. I know some of you. I've recognized some people from the past because we've got history. But God knows you, absolutely everything about. In fact, God knows you better than you know you. And I've often found that in my own life as well. So God wants our hearts to beat for him. He's after us, just like he was watching Hannah, you know, when she was going through all that trauma as a very young teenager. God saw that and he went after her. And there was a point, bless Adrian to bits, but there was a point where Adrian came along and said, oh, let's have a look at this God thing and see if we can find out more about it. And the fact that she's here today speaking to you is testimony to that. So God wants our hearts to beat for him, to live in the life he's called us to. And I believe that God's calling each one of you individually, that he's got an amazing adventure for you to go on. He wants to be there with you in all your situations and circumstances. He wants to be helping you to make good choices in your life. He wants to heal you when people mess up around you as well. But he wants us to give him 100% because he loves us very much. And he'll make things new in us. Now, there are many, many heart conditions. Many things can go wrong with people's hearts. And we haven't got time to unpack all of these. But I'm just going to touch on a few briefly. I was asking the Holy Spirit and saying, Lord, if there's anything specifically, because you know these ladies, I don't know them. Help me, you know, with giving them a word. So these are just a few that I wrote down. So hearts can be divided, so you can feel pulled in your passions of who you're following in your life. You can be pulled by people as well. You could be crushed through circumstances, a bit like Hannah's testimony with her family. You can be broken through grief. Now, I can give you personal testimony on this. My dad died when I was very young, and I grieved for my dad way into my 20s until I was listening to somebody speak and realised I could get free of that heaviness in my heart. And a lady prayed for me. It was very simple. She prayed for me that Jesus would come in, take that grief away so I wouldn't have to keep carrying it all the time. And it was amazing. I felt so much better. My heart was better. You can get hard-hearted. You know, when people keep hurting you in life, you start getting a bit defensive, don't you? My mum struggled with this one because she had a problem with her best friend. They had a disagreement. And, you know, she found it hard because she kind of said, I'm never going to get close to anyone else ever again. Because she didn't want to feel that hurt. But, you know, in relationships, we do, don't we? We do upset people and we do hurt people. But relationships are amazing as well and bring lots of joy. So my mum needed to get free of that because otherwise she would have gone through her life being quite lonely, actually, by holding herself back from getting close to anyone. And she got healing for that. A heart. Now, I did feel that this might be significant for somebody here. Can be a place of secrets. You can carry something in your heart. You know that you need to maybe tell somebody or get some help with it. But for whatever reason, you just carry on anyway. You know, there is a place of healing in God. And if you know somebody that you respect in God, that you can go and tell, they can get alongside you and they can pray for you if you tell them, you know, what that secret is that you're carrying on your own. And God's not shocked by anything. We always worry a bit, don't we? What will people say? What will people think? And I also believe that God heals as well. And I don't know whether any ladies here have got problems or difficulties with their heart, but I did feel at the end, if you want to, if you've got time to, we would love to pray for you as well, for your heart condition, heart problem. So God can break in, and he's a specialist in heart surgery. So I just wanted to encourage you today. I think it's good, isn't it, every now and then, just, is my heart doing okay? Am I guarding my heart? Is anything crept in there that I should maybe give over to the Lord Jesus? Or maybe you've never started a journey. You know, Hannah was saying at that point when Adrian said, let's start this journey, she thought he meant like going off somewhere, but he actually meant exploring, following the Lord Jesus in your life. Maybe you want to decide today, actually, some of this is making sense. I think I need to explore this a bit more and start my journey and start loving the Lord Jesus with my heart and let him make your heart beat. Okay, so I am going to pray. All right, I'll say a short prayer. Now, if anything that anybody has said, or even like the song that Michelle sang, if you want some prayer, we're going to be around at the end. And I know some of you might, you know, need to get away quicker, but that's fine as well. All right, so we're going to pray. Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you for this amazing group of women here. And Lord, I want to thank you that you love each one passionately. You know all their names. You know all about them. And Lord, that you love them 100%. Lord, that your heart is completely for them. And Lord, I thank you also that you are a specialist in heart surgery, Lord. That you can come and you can mend broken hearts, Lord. You can soften up hard hearts. Lord, that you can help us to be wholehearted and not divided. And Lord, that you can deal with any secret that may be infecting our hearts as well, Lord. And Lord, I just, Holy Spirit, I want to pray that you come now and you just speak to each one of us, Lord, over our hearts as we consider our hearts and our health of our hearts today, Lord. Will you come, Lord Jesus, right now and just speak to each one of us? Lord, I want to thank you that you do make us new creations in Christ Jesus. Thank you for Hannah's story. And Lord, we know that this has been multiplied many times over. Lord, I pray that you would just bless us now, Lord. Amen.
Maybe we just keep. Sorry. Maybe we just keep a couple of moments, just being silent, just to just close our eyes, just to think back what have just been said. Above all else, guard your heart. And today is not a coincidence that God bring you here. If anything that said by Sue about the heart, or the journey shared by Hannah, and the song sung by Michelle. Touch your heart. Just pray to God silently. Just thank God. And if you want to afterwards talk to Michelle, Hannah, or Sue, or anyone in our leadership team, feel free. And if you want us to pray for you, feel free to ask us as well. And we just have a brief prayer. Father God, once again, thank you. Thank you for the beautiful testimony shared by Hannah. The journey that she's walking with you, she has the light. Just thank you. And thank you for the song sung by Michelle, just touching our heart. Thank you, Lord. And for the message from Sue to remind us to guard our heart. We just thank you. And we commit ourselves into your hand. We commit today into your hand. Just bless us. Fill our heart with your joy. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so lastly, we just want to thank you for the message you bring, and really a triple blessing, isn't it? Yeah. So we just give them a round of applause. Okay, don't forget our next Native Breakfast is on the 5th of September. So, and you know Edith? Where's Edith? Over there? Just put your name quick because the places will be filled up very quickly. Okay, have a good weekend and feel free to come to talk to the team. Thank you.